Hello, people. Welcome to the Week 8 podcast. We are Take the Points. I'm Tom Zalesnak, and I'm here via Skype with Dan Partridge. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, Thomas.
Dan, this is a very important episode, a very special episode, as they would say in 90s TV shows. If this was Saved by the Bell, this would be the one where at the end, Zach Morris looked and was like, we've had a lot of fun here, but one thing that's not fun is sexual abuse, you know?
Right.
Anyway, this show is our annual sports gambling legalization rant. We do this every year. I think we did our first episode ever. This is what we talked about in addition to football. This is back when we didn't know what we were doing. Now we know like 2% of what we're doing.
Yeah.
We've improved mildly. So we're going to try it again. This will be our 2016 rant on legalizing sports gambling, and hopefully we can do better. So that's coming up at the end of the show. We have a Week 7 recap. We have Week 8 lines. But first, Dan, I want to start the show with two apologies I jotted down during the week. These are based on things that I said last week that were inaccurate that I need to apologize for to the listeners. Because to me, there's nothing more important than gaining our listeners' trust. So the first apology is to the creators of the MacGyver reboot. I did a long rant making fun of it. I had only watched two episodes. Now I watched the third episode. Much better. I'm not going to say good, but definitely there was an improvement.
Wow, that's breaking news. See, usually before we start recording, Tom will tell me a little bit about what's going on. He did not mention anything about this. I am as shocked as you are.
Number two apology. I need to apologize to Phil Collins. Last week, I said that Dana Holgorsen looked like Phil Collins, I'm quoting here, after an all-night recording session of No Jacket Required circa 1984. Well, I am a follower of Phil Collins on Facebook, and he made a big announcement about his tour today, and he posted some old images. And what I forgot to realize is that Phil Collins in 1984, that was the Reaganomics years, and he had gone to the Wall Street-esque, like, clean-cut look with the jacket on. So Dana Holgorsen actually looks more like late 70s Genesis-era Phil Collins.
Oh.
So I apologize for the error, Dan. I feel bad. It won't happen again. I ask that everyone respect my family during this difficult time.
Well done, Zeke. That's an excellent correction. And, you know, that's a very important correction to make with Phil. You know, there are two different Phils. There's Genesis Phil and Studio Phil. So, you know, important to explain to everyone the complete difference. And thank you for humbly admitting you're wrong. So there you go.
Like I said, I care about facts. I care about accuracy. And if you go to HillaryClinton.com, you can now see she has fact-checked this podcast, and she is the one who informed me of Phil Collins' haircut in the Genesis era. Dan, we're recording opposite the presidential debate. This is going to be all-time low views for Take the Points.
I have no idea what's going on with the election. I'm the only person in America who hasn't paid any attention at all. I don't even care. They could say that an alien showed up and he's now president. I'd go, okay. And I would still, like, you know, maybe, like, scroll my phone and check Twitter, drink a diet soda. I mean, that's pretty much what I do. The whole thing's a complete joke. Both candidates are awful. I don't know. It's just bad, man. Like, it's 2016. We got the worst Super Bowl champion ever in the Denver Broncos. And we get the worst election of all time. I can't take a third, and these things come in threes. I'm worried.
So it's funny you bring that up because this is how long we've been friends. We think on similar wavelengths. I've been thinking, you know, sometimes you have a Super Bowl and it's just a bad Super Bowl. We had one last year. There was one a few years ago when the Seahawks played the Broncos. Yeah. Once in a while, you just get a dud. And I think the same is true of elections. Once in a while, you just get a dud. Maybe 2020 will be better. Maybe 2024 will be better, but, you know, sometimes you just got to suck it up and say better luck next year.
It's a crazy world where, like, it's hard for people to, like, know if either of these candidates are actually saying one thing or they're making stuff up. And we are relying on leaked emails to find out what the truth is, because that's the only way to know. We go, oh, well, if they write it in an email to someone who's, you know, on their team, then that's the truth. So apparently the only way to know who is actually truthful and lying is to hack emails, which is just insane and crazy. It shouldn't have to come to that point. But
well, as somebody who recently worked for a major newspaper just a couple of years ago, the media is just so bad. They're not bad in the way that people think. They're not biased. They're just, they care so much more about, like, slideshows from Brewfest and just getting page views than they care about reporting actual news. Or even when they do report quote unquote actual news, they will, they'll report the silliest thing. Like, you'll see tomorrow with election coverage, they won't talk about any of the issues. They'll talk about, like, I don't know, Trump looked like he was on cocaine or something. We have, you know, the election hasn't happened, so I'm making that up, but I'm sure that'll happen. Anyway, they'll talk about frivolous, silly things, and you'll see. And it's not that they're biased toward one candidate or the other. They're just biased toward making money and making people click.
Yeah, completely agree.
So anyway, we're going to get Gary Johnson on board with our sports gambling legalization idea.
Please, anybody.
I'm pretty sure he'll be on board. Pretty sure also I'm going to get Gary Johnson to like speak on my deck or in my garage. This is my new thing. Because all of the bands and the people I liked growing up are now in the twilight of their career, like still performing, but not really asking for a lot of money. You know, they're not a big draw. For example, who's a 90s band? Marcy Playground, not a huge draw anymore.
Not so big.
Meanwhile, me, you, all of our friends, we're at a more established point in our career where we can, you know, afford some nicer things. So as our income goes up, their asking price goes down. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is I'm about six years away from having Ja Rule perform in my garage.
And it's going to be a nice garage at that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it'll be a worthy venue for Ja Rule in 2022.
He'll be able to say holla holla while he opens your outside refrigerator where you just keep alcohol and soda, which is pretty badass.
Yeah, and the reason I bring that up, you're going to see in like 2019, you're going to come to my house and I'm going to be having a party and you're going to be like, is that Gary Johnson, former presidential candidate, hanging out at Tom's house?
In fact, it is.
He's only like 3 years from crossing that X.
Can't wait.
Anyway, let's begin football talk with a week 7 recap. I marked down two games that were of interest. It wasn't the most exciting week, but you had a great game between Ohio State and Wisconsin going into overtime. And then you had Clemson just barely surviving NC State on sheer luck with a missed kick that a chip shot that NC State should have made to win the game. So what do you think about those two games or anything else that stood out from week 7?
Well, you know, it's really hard to go undefeated, and it's really hard even to finish with one loss anymore. And, you know, Clemson, yeah, they got lucky or whatever, but it's football. It doesn't matter how, especially now with, you know, the new playoff format. A win's a win. No one's really going to talk about this. Already no one cares, and it's only Wednesday. People are like, oh, yeah, one of those standard close games, ha, ha, ha. Moving on, you know, and Clemson's a strange team, and they know that they're talented, but they have a lot of lapses because they went to the national title game last year, and they went into the fourth quarter and went right down to the wire. So they're really mailing in this regular season. We talked about it. And we really haven't been talking about Clemson. We haven't wagered on Clemson. And then they showed up for a couple weeks, and everyone got real excited again, and the spreads went through the roof. And then they mailed in, an easy game to mail in. And, you know, that's what we're going to continue to see for at least probably, you know, another month. So, Be careful with Clemson. They have motivation issues, and we've talked about it all year. They're inconsistent. But that doesn't mean they won't finish undefeated, so more power to them. It's going to be a really fun, interesting ride to watch Clemson the rest of the year.
This Clemson team really reminds me of Florida State from 2 years ago. After they had won the national championship game, Jameis was back for his second or third, second year starting, third year overall. And they had huge motivational issues, and everyone was confused because in our minds, this is the same team that won the national title. What's going on? In reality, they had lost a few key pieces. They had a few new guys trying to fit in who ostensibly were good enough and were just as talented as last year's team, but in reality, just didn't mesh the way that the previous year's team did. Just because Clemson was in last year's national title game doesn't mean that this Clemson team is the exact same. And when combined with those motivational issues, I think they're in big trouble. I think they have to look out for an upset. But what I really think will happen is, much like Florida State, they're going to finish out the year undefeated. This might be the motivation they need just to get it together just a little bit. Of course, they'll get up for the big games like South Carolina and Florida State. And then they're going to make the playoff, and they're going to get absolutely waxed in that first round, I think, by the Big Ten team, whichever one makes it. That's my prediction. Clemson gets in as that 3 seed, and Ohio State or Michigan just blows them out. What we learned with Florida State and Jameis is that you can't coast or mail it in all season and expect to just turn it on at the very end when you're in the playoff.
Yeah. It's very hard. It's very hard to just automatically go, oh, we are elite. That's not saying that Clemson can't do it because every team is unique, but it's going to be hard for Clemson to win a national title, I think, this year.
I'm not ruling it out, but they need to turn it around now as opposed to making the playoff by the skin of their teeth and deciding, oh, okay, now we're playing Michigan. Now we'll try hard.
Exactly.
All right. We're going to go right to the Saturday games. I know there are a lot of Thursday and Friday games, but by the time this podcast comes out, we've realized most people don't listen in time for Thursday games, and some people don't even listen in time for Friday. So the only thing I want to point out is Friday night, Oregon at Cal, over under 88.5. And I don't have a pick, but I mention that now because I'm going to get back to that in just a little bit. That's what we call foreshadowing. So, do you have a thought on that game? No, go ahead.
If we're going to talk about it later, that's fine.
I was just going to, okay. We'll get to it later.
Sounds good.
Start with the awesome athletic conference, a.k.a. the AAC.
Ooh.
UCF -3.5 at UConn, right down the street from me. Dan, you're a UConn alum, and you've done a little bit of research on this game, and you have a lot of thoughts, so take it away.
Well, first, Tom, I don't know what you're talking about. There's a football game, but I'm looking for another term for it. Can you help me?
Well, Dan, it's sort of like a civil war. I mean, it's North versus South, but I hesitate to call it a war. Perhaps there was some other lesser term that we could call it.
Oh, man.
A civil disagreement? Civil scuffle? What do you think?
Civil union? A civil independence? You know what? Civil conflict. We're settling on civil conflict, and we're sticking to it. For some reason, this is a fake rivalry. When I went to UConn, I had nothing against UCF. I wasn't like, you know what? I hate UCF. Fuck Dante Culpepper. I can't stand him. The whole college can go to hell. So now they made up this.
This is good. That's good. Fuck Dante Culpepper.
He was a fantasy beast for a long time. Anyway, you're getting me sidetracked. It's a fake rivalry that does not exist. Who makes up a rivalry in 2016? You can't do that. It doesn't. This is like
Dan. It sounds like you haven't studied your history. I can tell you, living down the street, handsome Bob Diaco, UConn football coach, he came in 2 years ago, 2014, and he decided that UConn needed a rival because UConn football doesn't have a rival. Much like Penn State, they are unrivaled. But Bob Diaco decided, in addition to being the most handsome coach ever, he was going to contribute one other great thing to college football. He thought that UConn fans would be more into it if there was a once-a-year rival. So every other good football school already has a rival. That leaves us with the University of Central Florida, who was fairly decent a few years ago. If you remember, they won a Fiesta Bowl down by you against Baylor. So Bob Diaco was like, a Fiesta Bowl champion team is in our league. I'm going to start some shit. But as I said, they didn't want to call it the Civil War because war is a little too strong for these two teams. So the Civil Conflict, North versus South.
Like, and, you know, most of these rivalries are with, you know, areas that are close together or states that border. And since you take a flight, I almost feel like a flight term should be included here. Like, a civil coach seat or a civil first class accommodations or something like that. Because when one's in Connecticut and one's in Florida, there's no connection. But...
Civil layover?
That's pretty good. The civil layover is the new unofficial term, Tom. You win. Good job. Write that one down.
Where is UCF? I mean, I know it's in Central Florida, but I don't know the city. Perhaps it's a stop en route to Miami or Puerto Rico.
Civil layover will tell you all you need to know. Same thing with Springfield, the Hartford Airport. It's a quick stop, you know, sometimes where you go to New York or Boston or Canada. No one flies into Hartford and goes, all right, I'm just going up to Springfield for the week. It's going to be a great vacation. No one's ever said that. Actually, you'd be surprised. But anyway, talking some X's and O's real quick in this football game. UConn last year blew out Central Florida. Central Florida had a ton of injuries and was a total mess. And UConn ran it up and had a very lovely time doing it. Scott Frost is the coach of UCF, and he's actually a really great coach. I read some of his press conference stuff, and he will have this team 1,000% ready to play this week. I think they're going to win outright. Another good point about this game. Oh, my God. You know, sometimes you have one extra great point to add, listeners, and sometimes you just blank on it. But UCF will be ready to win this game. Scott Frost will have them motivated. Here's the last point. Next week after this, UCF is at Houston. They're 3-3 currently now. There's no such thing as a look-ahead game if you're trying to qualify for a bowl, and that's all these guys are trying to do. If they lose at UConn, they're going to be 3-5. This is a must-win game, and Scott Frost knows it. They'll win this game to get to 4-3, then they'll lose against Houston 4-4. They'll figure a way to get into a bowl game. So UCF outright. It did open at 2.5. It's now 3.5. Obviously, 2.5 is a little bit better. If you can maybe get it down to 3 and pay a little extra juice, might want to do that. UCF, all the way.
All right. For those of you who enjoyed that hot, small-time rivalry talk, just wait till later in the season. I got a lot of thoughts about the Land-Grant Trophy. A lot of thoughts. When it comes to shitty rivalries, Land-Grant Trophy is my favorite of all time. Civil Conflict might be second, though.
The civil layover.
Civil layover.
Thank you.
All right, Dan, we're going to go conference by conference from here on out. So we'll start with the Big 12. And before we get into games, I just want to get your thoughts on the non-expansion. So just in case people haven't paid attention the last couple of days, the Big 12 basically said we're going to expand. They announced we'll have this press conference at 5 o'clock. So everybody's pondering what's going to happen. I think they'll add Houston. I think they'll add Cincy. Will they add BYU? BYU's good. They're sort of in the region, but they've got this, you know, morality clause that turned people off. So maybe they'll do two teams. Maybe they'll do four. Maybe UConn will get in. The time comes. They announce that there is no announcement. Zero teams. The Big 12 will not be expanding. It reminded me of, this is a little throwback for the listeners, but if you remember the Tom Green show, when he did the episode with Monica Lewinsky and they had the fake announcement about her handbags.
So true.
I was expecting Monica Lewinsky to pop out and like sell her handbags. She, by the way, should go to all shitty announcements with a handbag. Just to let them know what kind of like level of bad announcement we're at. That could be her new role, how she like gives back to society.
It's not bad.
Take it away.
The whole Monica Lewinsky thing's really thrown me for a loop. I'm kind of still
sorry. There's been too much hot 90s political talk in this episode. So do you have any thoughts about the Big 12 expansion, lack of expansion?
Yes.
Many people think that the Big 12, that its days are numbered and that we're headed toward four major power conferences with Texas. I believe it's Texas going to the Pac-12, Oklahoma going SEC, and the rest of the teams just sort of scattering like little rats to find a conference.
Yeah, I mean, that's very possible. You know, what really makes sense is just to add SMU, their top 25 team in basketball. They can make, improvements. They already hired a great coach. They'll be better. They'll be top 25 in both soon. And then something like Houston. But it all comes down to money because ESPN's got a contract with these guys saying we're going to give each school $20 million a year so we can show your fucking games on TV. And they go, oh, wait. If you add two more teams, that's $40 million more a year times X amount of years. No, we're not going to pay $500 million only to get the same amount of ratings we already would have got, or actually even worse because we're watering it down even more and we're not adding huge draws. So it all comes down to a bunch of money. NCAA and all that's messed up. I think in our lifetime we're going to see a commissioner kind of oversee this kind of stuff of the NCAA, like Roger Goodell's version for – you know, I'm not saying it's a good thing.
That kind of role, not necessarily yes. Goodell quality.
Exactly. But it something has to be done because every year it's the same thing. Teams moving, coaches just leaving programs, doing whatever they want, kids getting screwed. Like, it's really getting bad. And, like, the thing with the NCAA is it's always been bad. It's always been corrupt. But now in this day and age with Twitter and phones and shit like that, everything just shows up. And it's just embarrassing, and you know, to be flat out honest at this point, like you're the Big 12, you're the conference of all the teams from the Midwest. I mean, that's what everybody knows. Look geographically, and there's Houston and SMU sitting right there. To increase your teams from 10 to 12 in the Big 12, everything would make sense. All the travel stuff, keep costs down, short bus rides instead of flights. Everything makes sense, but no, it's because some assholes in Connecticut, not you, Tom, you know, they're working at ESPN and they go, no, 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 and they influence this and they threaten the NCAA and there's two big shots sitting down having a scotch somewhere at a restaurant in New York City figuring it out, you know, and everyone gets fucked over because of this. And there needs to be some sort of regulation because once again, the NCAA has failed. It's horrible. It's not getting any better.
I agree with everything except the two big shots having a drink in New York City, Dan. ESPN's in Bristol. They can go right downtown to Hartford, right down the road from me. They can go to Max Downtown, Trumbull Kitchen, any of Hartford's fine dining establishments.
I stand corrected.
All right, so Big 12 games. We have Oklahoma State minus 24 at Kansas. Got some potential there. Texas at Kansas State. Kansas State is a 2.5-point favorite. Then TCU at the tough, rapidly rising up the polls, West Virginia. West Virginia, nearly a touchdown favorite. And then Oklahoma minus 13.5 at Texas Tech, over under of 85 in that one. So what are your thoughts on any of those?
Yeah, sure. A couple of them. Texas is interesting. Pay attention to them. They might be one more loss from the team maybe giving up on Charlie Strong. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but keep an eye on Texas. It might be one of those situations where everything just kind of falls apart. If they lose a game or two here in mid-October and their record starts to go south, November might get real ugly. So keep an eye on that. As far as this game, no pick. Just be, you know, results-oriented going forward. Texas Tech-Oklahoma, spread of 85. Odd to see Texas Tech only score 17 or 14 points, whatever, last week against West Virginia. I don't know what's going on there.
West Virginia has a defense.
That's what people say. They say it's the best defense in the Big 12.
That's such a compliment.
Sometimes you'll take all the compliments you can get. I mean, the same West Virginia team that gave up, what, 63 or 70 in a bowl recently, and to Baylor. But anyway, I have no feel on Texas Tech, Oklahoma. Obviously, I don't want to lay the points with Oklahoma, but Texas Tech just looked so bad last week. I can't touch it. I probably won't touch the over either. Afraid Texas Tech can't score. Hard week in the Big 12, but some interesting games.
I like West Virginia. I think they win this one. I wouldn't lay the 6.5. I don't like any of these lines. Texas Tech, the value is just no longer there, unfortunately. Oh. The sharps have caught on. Actually, no. Sorry, the odds makers have caught on. No.
Yeah, I mean, everyone caught on. I mean, the freaking joke odds of 68.5 week two are over. Like, come on. What do you mean 68.5? You laughing?
It's too bad. Anyway, if I had to pick one of those games, I would consider laying the 24 with Oklahoma State at Kansas. Kansas is still pretty terrible. Oklahoma State should be able to beat them by 30.
It should.
All right, moving along to the Pac-12. We always do the Pac-12 at the end, and I feel like maybe some people might not listen to the whole podcast or get bored of us halfway through. We should give these early listeners a chance to hear our thoughts on the Pac-12. So, first game up, Colorado visits Stanford, and Stanford is a 2-point favorite. Daniel?
Well, this is an interesting game. If I would have told you a month ago that that Colorado and Stanford would be playing and Stanford was only a 2-point favorite, you would say you're crazy. There's no way that's possible. But I'm telling you, it's week 8 and things are much different. Uh-oh.
I don't think our listeners are going to hear that, Dan. You'll have to crank up the volume. Oh, all right. Well, we've got some audio issues, music going in and out. Why don't you tell us what song you were attempting to play?
That was 2 Chainz. All the songs are the same. It doesn't matter. 2 Chainz is the trap god. Actually, that's Gucci Mane. I should have done that. We'll do that next week. Moving on. This is the trap of the week. Colorado's good. People, wake up. They're a legit team. They should be ranked in the top 25. They're one quarterback injury from taking Michigan to the wire. I mean, I talk about it every week, and they keep covering. They're great. Take the screw the 2 points. You don't need them. Money line Colorado all day this weekend.
If you were given this line at the beginning of the season, Colorado at Stanford -2, how much money would you have put on Stanford? 1,000? 10,000?
A lot, an absolute massive amount. I wonder if I can actually find out what it was. Keep going for 30 seconds.
Well, you can check back on that when we do the Big Ten, because I need your West Coast expertise on these other games since my bedtime is before these games even start. We've got Utah at UCLA, -7. Oregon State at Washington, -36.5. And then Washington State, -7.5, visits your Arizona State Sun Devils.
It's a sad state of affairs when Washington State is laying 7 at Arizona State. That's pathetic. Fire Todd Graham. Get him out of town. Hire Art Briles, but we won't talk about that anymore.
They're going to lose too. Washington State and Leach, they're going to put ASU in the shed this week.
All the way in the shed. They played a weird game last week. They had a turnover in the red zone, some other weird nonsense, keep the score low. It's beautiful right now here in Phoenix. This is the nicest week of the entire year. That offense will be humming on Saturday night. Washington State woodsheds Arizona State Saturday night.
I'm on board 100% with the Washington State Cougars this year. Washington State 2016, #, get in the shed.
I love it.
Anything else?
Anything else? Oregon State is awful getting 36.5. I don't like laying point spreads that big, but you can't bet against Washington in that spot. UCLA, very strange. That point spread is a touchdown in that game. I don't think UCLA is that good, so I would fade them. But, yeah, that's pretty much it. Oregon game's interesting.
We'll get to that in a second. So Actually, we'll get to that right now. Let's skip ahead to the Big Ten. We'll go back to the ACC later. So the reason I mentioned 88.5 is the over-under, because your first two Big Ten games, we have two Doris Burke games of the week this week. Rutgers at Minnesota and Wisconsin at Iowa. Minnesota's favored by 17.5, Wisconsin favored by 4. The over-under for Rutgers, 44. The over-under for Wisconsin, 42.5. Dan, if you combine these two over-unders, it is 2 points less than the Oregon game on its own.
Wow, that is excellent work. See, I really like that. Yeah, that's an absolute crazy over-under. That's one of the highest ones I've ever seen. Oregon is a total train wreck. Cal scores a lot of points. It's so fun that you have to bet it. Bet something very tiny. I don't care, Tom. Take $5, bet the over, just so you can, you know, if you wake up, baby wakes up or something, you flick it on, you go, oh, wait a minute. I bet the over just to tell everyone I don't give a fuck, because tomorrow with NFL I'm betting under 39.5. I bet an over 88 on Saturday and won or lost. But
I will go on sportsbook.ag and I will bet one Bitcoin on that over.
That's another option. Bitcoins. That's right.
There's Bitcoin gambling now. I'm not sure if Sportsbook specifically has it, but there is Bitcoin gambling. Oh, yeah. I will bet one Bitcoin is probably like $300. So that's probably not going to work out at all.
Fraction of a Bitcoin.
So I'll talk about the Big Ten and you can see if you can figure out Stanford, Colorado line preseason.
No, I couldn't find it, but I'm guessing it was something like Stanford minus 17 or something like that. Yeah.
It certainly wasn't two.
No.
So Rutgers, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, Iowa are the two biggest stay-away games of all time. Rutgers is terrible, and I know we have said just bet against Rutgers for the rest of the year, but I would never lay 18 with Minnesota.
Especially because their quarterback's out, too.
Yeah. I mean, they couldn't cover it with them, but do not do that. Never bet on Rutgers, though, the rest of the year. And then Wisconsin coming off an emotional loss at Iowa. These teams are very similar. Wisconsin's more talented. They're just a more talented version of Iowa. But that seems like a 3, 4, 5 point game to me. So stay away from that. By the way, I gained a lot of respect for Wisconsin. We talk about sometimes a team loses, but you gain a lot of respect for them in a loss, like Louisville against Clemson and other games. Tennessee against Texas A&M, we gained some respect for them there. Wisconsin really played well. They are, for sure, I think, a top 10 team. They belong top 10 to 12 rankings. I think you'll see them back there by the end of the year. I'm really impressed with their new coach. He is cool as a cucumber over on the sideline. Like a lot of coaches, Brett Bielema, for example, you can see his face turn red. It's, you know, as red as this cup I'm holding up right now.
Brett.
When he gets mad. The new coach is the opposite. He's just what they need in Wisconsin because he has the run game with a big offensive lineman that Wisconsin's used to. And when you play up north, that's the kind of game you have to play. You're not getting the speedsters from Florida and Texas. But he also just has this cool about him. He's always got the clipboard. He reminds me a little bit of like early Mike Tomlin, where he can't seem to get flustered. So good hire. And I would say when he was first hired from Pitt, I thought, you know, was he from Pitt? Do I have that right? Well, whatever. So. When he was first hired, I didn't think anything of it. I was like, can't Wisconsin get somebody a little better? Like nothing against him, but Wisconsin should be a big enough pull to get a bigger name. But I think they made the right move, and I think they're going to compete for several years going forward. So kudos to them, but stay away this week. Purdue at Nebraska. This one worries me. Nebraska minus 24. I do not think they're going to cover that, but I don't have any faith in Purdue. That's the problem with the Big Ten. These shitty teams, they have the skill level to cover, but you don't ever want to wager on them.
Yeah, I know.
It's just about how good do you feel putting money on, say, Purdue or Illinois. Same thing with Illinois at Michigan. Michigan minus 36.5. I would feel uncomfortable laying that much, even though I do think Michigan will blow them out. And then the last game, Ohio State minus 20 at Penn State. So I haven't checked the injury report for Penn State. I think they've still got significant defensive injuries. This is a home game, so they'll have probably a whiteout going. I think this is going to get ugly.
It should, but it's two road games in a row for Ohio State, night games. In theory, taking Penn State is the right play, you know, ignoring the names of the teams and, you know, other stuff like that. But I just can't do it. So this is a stay away. And I think it's right on. I think Ohio State wins by somewhere between 17 and 30 points, you know, and they move on. And simple as that.
All right. ACC. So NC State, who gave Clemson a run, now they go to Louisville. It's a 19.5-point line. You think the NC State semi-magic continues?
It could. Louisville's been playing a little weird lately, too.
Hey, Dan, they ran into a steel wall of Duke football. You can't blame them for that.
You know what? You're right.
Duke outsmarted them with, like, algorithms and shit. Like, they figured out the right angle to take to the ball.
They're very smart. Very tricky, those Dukies. It's very possible NC State could, but it's a stay away.
All right, and then last game of the ACC that we care about, the Cuse. Syracuse goes to Boston College. Dan, this is really a matchup for you. It's your favorite Syracuse, who you always love their football team, at Boston College, your favorite college in America. Who do you pick from two teams that you love so much?
I'm sorry. That actually was a real yawn, but it was just perfect timing. So instead of hiding it, I just let it roll out.
I saw that, and that seemed legitimate. Like, I don't think that was a ploy.
No, it was just like that was my body. You were talking about Syracuse and BC, and it's getting dark now in Arizona. 6 o'clock. It's real beautiful out. Anyway, I guess this line opened at 6. People like Syracuse. Line's down at 4.5. I never trust Boston College to score any points. I didn't trust Matt Ryan to score any points. So I can't bet Boston College. Stay away from me always in this game. I'll never bet it ever.
Cuse, straight up win.
Love it.
I'm calling it.
Great.
Cuse, they're going to win by 1.
I just hope someone loses.
Well, it's likely to happen. They may just call the game. There may be a situation where, like, there are 3 drops of rain and the referee's like, that's the game. They're like, it's just like 2 drops. He's like, nope, got to call it. Nobody wants to see this.
It might be me. I'm going to fly to Boston and take out the ref, like, Naked Gun style right before kickoff. And I'll slide in there and be like, call the game, Lightning. We're like, it's beautiful out. Nope.
I think I saw something on the horizon.
Go home, Dino. Go home, BC Jagoffs. We're done here.
All right, moving along to the SEC, or as I call them, Alabama and the backup dancers.
Yeah.
Arkansas at Auburn. Auburn minus 9.5. That line doesn't seem right to me. I haven't done much research. Is there an injury or something I don't know about?
Auburn's defense is just really playing well, and the Arkansas kind of, you know, luster is kind of faded in the past couple weeks. I think Auburn is coming off a bye as well, and they're coming off that smashing 35-0 whatever blowout at Mississippi State. So Auburn's actually coming on at the right time, and I think they're going to be Alabama's toughest game after this week.
So do we lay the 10 or the 9.5?
Lay it with Auburn. I'm starting to like this Auburn team. They're sneaky. They got talent. They always have talent. They just got to play. They're all crazy.
Dan, every year it seems you have a new favorite team, and about 3 years ago you had a little love affair with Auburn. Are they back in the picture? X's reunited?
They are back. We crossed eyes again. I don't know what happened. I had a soft spot for Auburn. I swear to God, I was at work today, and somebody ordered something, and we unfortunately were out of it temporarily. And I said, and I asked who it was, and it was an older couple. And I looked at them. They were both wearing Auburn stuff, head to toe. And I was like, perfect. I got this. I walk over and I said, hello, War Eagle. Unfortunately, we don't have arugula for the sandwich. Can I offer you spinach? And they were like, oh, they're like, yeah. What? Like, they were shocked that someone just said War Eagle to him. I could have told him, your food is not coming. I ate it all. Please pay again. War Eagle. They've been like, okay, then. Sounds good.
In fairness, but people from Alabama may not know the difference between spinach and arugula.
Also, valid point. And also, I mean, I take my, spinach arugula mix very serious too. So it's partially my fault.
I mean, it's 2016. You know, they have Netflix in Alabama. I'm sure they've seen vegetables. I'm just saying they probably never experienced them close up.
That was why they were so easy to go. They were like, War Eagle, we don't care. We're going to beat Arkansas. Give me my sandwich. I don't give a shit. I was like, that's great. That's the answer I'm going for.
Ole Miss at LSU. LSU seems to also be coming on. Ed Orgeron scored more points in his two games as interim coach than the Les Miles teams did in four games.
Yeah, it's true.
That's a true stat. So now they're favored by 6 over Chad Kelly and Ole Miss, which a couple weeks ago would have seemed insane, but seems about right on now.
Chad Kelly is Johnny Manziel still in college. Like, it's really turning into this at this point. First, he's on the field at a high school football game. Something happened to his whatever relative. You know, have you heard
cousin
about that?
Or something like that.
Yeah, or something. Then there's a thing with Mia Khalifa. Have you heard about this?
No. Is he related to Wiz Khalifa?
No. Mia Khalifa is a writer for Sports Illustrated, but that just happened recently. She's been known for being a porn star for many years. And Chad...
Hang on, Dan. We can't just gloss over that fact. How is it that you and I have been doing this for 4 years? We're right about everything. We're ahead of like ESPN and other things. Yep. And we can't even make a penny off this. Yet porn stars are getting hired at Sports Illustrated.
I don't know. I completely fucked my life up, and I'm okay with it at this point.
Dan, I'm gonna look away. I'm gonna start a live YouTube broadcast. I'm gonna look away out of respect. I'm gonna need you to take your dick out. It's for the good of the podcast.
Okay, it's out. All right, so let me explain. So Mia Khalifa, huge porn star, right? She's made excellent work.
I don't now, look at porn, Dan, so I'm not aware of that.
Okay, great. You're married. You don't. So I got a new computer today. Moving on.
Is that why your hard drive broke?
Listen to last episode. Listen to the beginning. All right, moving forward. Mia Khalifa's a porn star, right? Chad sent her a direct message, a DM, if you will, on Twitter a while back, and then she didn't really like it or respond or something. He recently sent her another one last week, and she said, like, oh, hey, you know, just played around, like, oh, that's nice. And he was like, right instantly, so can we hop on, like, Skype and FaceTime or something like that? And she's like, what a creep. So she posted the screenshot of the DM on her Twitter feed, which has millions of followers, and said, God, I'm tired of this guy sliding into my DMs, and it's fucking Chad Kelly, the quarterback of Ole Miss. So the best thing about this just happened this morning. The vice president of Pornhub sent Chad Kelly a letter saying, we will hook you up with a porn star since Mia's not interested. This is true. Tom, I should explain this.
I haven't heard any of this. So this is, I'm here really trying to stifle my laughter so it doesn't ruin the podcast.
So it's true. So Pornhub wrote Chad Kelly. So this is all going on this week. Moral of the story, I like LSU. And if you want to know more about the Chad Kelly, Mia Khalifa, Pornhub, love triangle, or whatever it possibly is when you include those three people, or things, you know, whatever, go online. But it's a really interesting story. I love stories like this. They're so funny. This is, can you imagine, I mean, all the stuff that we would have saw if cell phones existed in the 90s.
I'm so glad. I always think about that all the time. I'm so glad I went to college cell phones existed, but, you know, they didn't have Twitter cameras on all the cell phones and things like that.
so much better that I went on spring break and no one had a cell phone. I'll tell you that much.
It would rule out my presidential run. Gary Johnson would not come and hang out in my living room in 2019.
Nope. No. Very true.
I had a point. Oh, yeah. The letter that they sent to that Pornhub sent to Chad Kelly. What are the odds that it said, sexy girls in your area want to fuck 6.0 miles away?
That would have been the best letter ever. And been like, okay, now seriously, ignore the first one. No, but yeah. So Chad Kelly, besides, you know, storming football fields and running around crazy, Ole Miss's program's a little bit out of control if you haven't figured it out already. You got people smoking fake weed and falling out of windows, and people smoking weed with a gas mask on, and there's some wild shit going on down there at Ole Miss. Super talented, but this is how you change a program. You know, you bring in the talent, and you have to accept these things. As much as you're going to get violations or people in trouble, it's just the way it is. You know, I mean, Art Briles, I mean, that was a little bit different.
They're definitely in line for the Art Briles Memorial Award for next team to really fuck up their program.
Yep, exactly.
So watch out, Ole Miss. Okay.
Alabama.
Yeah, Alabama. Texas A&M at Alabama. Alabama, considering they're playing another top 10 team, an 18-point line, that's just astounding. And by the way, well-deserved. They are just killing people.
They're really good. They keep scoring non-offensive TDs. That's just absurd. And that's what just not only counts for 7 points, but it breaks every team's emotion. Every pick six or punt return. Because every player and coach knows in order to beat Alabama, you can't give one of those up. You're like, okay, we can hold their offense to X amount of points, blah, blah. But you can't give up 14 extra or you're going to lose every time.
You have to play perfect and they have to play bad.
Yeah, it's completely true. One fun gambling thing I read online today. Every team Alabama's played this year, the following week they've won, and all of them have covered the spread as well except for one. So they're all perfect straight up and all perfect except for one against the spread. Usually it's the other way around with the physical team. Like in the NFL, teams that play Seattle seem to not do well the next week. But maybe it's because Alabama blows you out and they show you true excellence. And you maybe get to maybe rest some guys in the second half, or you just see the opponent the next week and they're not as good and you go, wow, we can beat these guys. So watch out for Tennessee, you know. That's an interesting thing. And also I guess the same thing happened with Andrew Luck at Stanford his last year. Every single team they played the following week, they covered. Interesting.
Alabama is just looking so great the last few weeks. Their offensive line is just destroying people. It's one of the best I've ever seen. And the funny thing is, their two running backs I don't think are that good by Alabama standards, at least. Jalen Hurts, of course, is a great quarterback and a great rushing quarterback. And they'll hand the ball to the receivers on occasion and make some nice plays. But I really think at the running back position, they're as weak as they've been possibly in the Nick Saban era. But yet, the guys seem to be untouched for 5-6 yards often. And there's just no way. I mean, they get better also as the game goes on. So as you're a defense and you're getting worn down, Alabama's just getting better and better. One thing I noticed with a stud defensive lineman, Tennessee had a guy named Derek Barnett, number 9. You may have noticed he was basically the only bright spot on Tennessee last week. And I thought he had a really good game. I wasn't too familiar with his work before. He's a real stud. I think he'll be a great NFL player. But what I've noticed is that Alabama is somewhat vulnerable to a great, a really talented NFL caliber defensive lineman or defensive linemen. And the other weakness, if you can even call it a weakness, is Alabama's secondary in the sort of mid-range to deep passing game. The interesting thing is these are two areas where Texas A&M actually has the good matchup. So they have Myles Garrett, as we all know, and their defensive line in general is pretty good. So it's possible they could sort of exploit the gaps much like Barnett did last week. And then if they can get that Texas A&M Sumlin passing game going, they could score some points. So while at this point, you know, the number one rule of our podcast, do not bet against Alabama. But I wouldn't be shocked if Texas A&M kept it close.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially Alabama coming off a blowout win on the road, too. A&M has the team, or has the style of a team to give Alabama fits. They throw it all over the lot, and they have speed rushers.
This is, in my opinion, this is the best matchup that any team will have against Alabama this year, at least until the playoff.
Correct. But rule number one, you don't touch that. I do love the over, though. I think both teams will score points. So my lock of the week is over 58.5 points in this game.
And let's not forget, I'm sure this will be brought up 1,000 times during College Game Day, but Trevor Knight is the quarterback who at Oklahoma beat the number 3 ranked Alabama in the bowl game. So he's not scared of them.
Nope.
He's going to go in there. Boys, I've played this team and I beat this team.
Yep.
If Trevor Knight doesn't make an impassioned, like Any Given Sunday style speech before this game, I'll be very disappointed. I'd like to see 6 seconds of that on Vine on a loop.
You might get it.
How is Vine still around in 2016?
I don't know.
It's the worst.
It's awful.
Well, Dan, that's the end of the games, unless you have any sleeper picks or small games you'd want to slide in there.
Nope, I have nothing to add in terms of college football for week 8.
You don't want to try to slip something in, Chad Kelly style?
I've already been doing that. I've been playing a record in the background on in reverse on a loop. If you listen to this podcast backwards, you'll hear the truth.
All right, Dan. So now is the time. Without further delay, because we are running a few minutes behind, every single year we do this. I can't remember 4 years ago. I can't remember 3 months ago. Once you have a baby, your life before that really doesn't exist anymore. But I believe our first ever podcast, this was the first thing we ever talked about, was why sports gambling should be legalized. We've done it every year since, and now I will turn it over to you for the 2016 version. Take it away.
Thank you. Yes, Tom, this is an annual rant. It will be something I'll never give up until it's fixed. It's probably the number one thing that annoys me about rules and regulations above just about anything is how sports betting and just gambling is viewed within the country. Let's just do a quick brief overview. Legal gambling in the United States right now. Horse tracks, lottery, keno, going to casinos to play roulette, blackjack and slot machines, and bingo. You can even wager on fantasy football and fantasy sports in most states. These are all perfectly legal forms of gambling. Meanwhile, sports betting and poker are illegal everywhere outside of the state of Nevada. And, you know, there's a couple small spots, East Coast. It's completely ridiculous for a number of different reasons. The argument against poker and sports betting is that they aren't games of skill, that you don't control the action. If that's true for that, then how are the other things legal? That drives me the most insane. But more than anything, for our 2016 rant, I don't want to talk about why I'm mad and blah, blah, blah. I just want to say what any listener should do, you know, and what people should be doing is, you know, signing up for, you know, online awareness and petitions and blah, 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 blah. But I don't think that's the truth. I want you to be proud that you gamble and tell people that you gamble and speak very educated when you do. Don't say, yeah, I had 100 on Bama and it came in. Yeah. Like, don't talk like that. Explain to them what's going on. Explain to them what you know. And we have to change how people view gambling in order to get it fixed. These old people who run this country are starting to phase out. You know, we're seeing it with medical marijuana and stuff like that.
Marijuana is the perfect analogy, I would say, where people are accepting it now because they're starting to see their neighbors and quote unquote normal people smoking marijuana. And it's not just these weird stoners.
Exactly. And also, in 2016, there are way more casinos than there ever have been. I mean, There was a time where it was Atlantic City and Las Vegas outside of a couple very small other casinos. Now, I think just about every state has casinos and they're all over the place. If I would say, Tom, how many casinos are in Arizona? You'd go, well, I don't know. It's not Las Vegas. What do you got? One or two? I think there's like 15 to 20 or 25 casinos in the state of Arizona. Like you would never guess that in a million years. So as you know, gambling is just seen more as you drive by it and you meet people who work at casinos and just the culture of gambling becomes more normalized. It gives us an opportunity to get things regulated and more fair. I would love to have a sports book online regulated with, you know, accurate payout methods, accurate lines, no shady business. Poker, same thing. Track IP addresses, make sure collusion isn't happening, make sure people aren't playing on multiple accounts. We have the technology to, you know, ensure all these things happen on the internet. I can see why in 2002 and 2005, why they didn't want poker and you know, and gambling online legalized. I mean, it was the wild, wild west of the internet, but things are actually a little bit more under control, and I think we have the confidence to control technology at this point. So, moral of the story is, be proud that you're a gambler. Tell people you do it. Stick up for yourself, and don't sound like an asshole when you do. Know your shit. That's it. Keep on gambling. Dan out.
Let me ask you a couple questions, and for this purpose, of course I agree with you, but for our purpose today, I'll play the role of the devil's advocate. The arguments you hear against it, first off, is the addiction argument that it ruins people's lives. People get addicted to gambling, they go overboard and they bet and lose their family fortune and not destroy not only their life, but their family's life. How do you respond to that?
Any person who's willing to lose all their money gambling is going to fuck their life up in some other way. If it's not this, it's going to be alcohol. If it's not alcohol, it's going to be drugs. If it's not drugs, it's going to be just being a crazy lunatic and losing your mind. It's going to be a prescription pain, whatever. People like that who can't control themselves are automatically going to fail in life. We need to stop policing and making sure everyone's got the same, you know, you got to make sure that this person doesn't lose their hard-earned money gambling. Let people make their own choices. If you want to go gamble all of it this week on taking Oregon State plus 36 and a half, go ahead and do it. Because if you're crazy enough to do that, then you're crazy enough to do a lot of other stuff in life that's going to mess you up way worse than sports betting.
Okay, and the second argument I always hear, I believe you sort of answered this in your original rant, but you hear politicians say, well, yes, sports gambling would bring in a lot of money, but we're an ethical, moral society, and this is not the way that we should be bringing in money by these sort of illicit methods. Same thing they say about marijuana.
Same thing they've been saying since, you know, the mid 1700s. We have all kinds of shit that we sell that's horrible for us. We got cigarettes, we got Philip Morris, we got Smith and Wesson guns, we got Jack Daniels. We're the only country in the entire world that shows pharmaceutical commercials on TV. People don't understand how crazy this country is run. It's all kickbacks. It's a lot of money involved, you know? And that point is just completely absurd because there's way, 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 way worse stuff out there.
All right, Dan, I think you convinced me.
Start gambling.
I'm impressed, Dan.
Oh, and use my referral code so I get a kickback too.
Enter the code, take the points, 2016. No.
You will get a small percentage taken out of your deposit, 75%. But you will get access to our bonus podcast, which is me sending you voice texts on Saturday periodically.
Our bonus podcast could just be me stringing together the 10 minutes before every podcast when we just talk about random shit.
We should offer on the takethepoints.net webpage a premium account for $29.95 a month where you just give me your phone number and I make things happen.
We could just add you to our group text messages with Spill It and George. I feel like that's worth at least
Yes.
$5 a month.
You're right. For $19.95 a month, we'll add you to our group text. You will not understand most of it, but you will get some pick info in there.
You'll get $5 worth of entertainment for sure. It's a hell of a lot more entertaining than the CBS All Access app.
Regardless of where you live in this world, these texts will wake you up because we are all over the country. There's texts going off at 2 a.m. at Tom's house. There's texts going off at 4 a.m. at my house.
It's bad. So, Dan, you'll be texting it, you know, when you get off from work sometimes at like midnight or 1, which, you know, depending on the time of year, might be 4 a.m. here.
Yep.
Because of you guys, I have had to use the silence mode on my phone every night when I go to bed.
Yep. Join the club.
I say that respectfully. But then the thing is, I get your text messages at 8 a.m. and I write back, forgetting that it's 5 a.m. where you are. So what goes around comes around.
Yeah, it's pretty much a huge mess. And now, you know, because of my career, I have to leave my ringer on. I mean, it's just the way it is. So now, like, I'll hear a text message and I'll be laying in bed and go, 35% chance it's college football. That's good enough for me. All right, we're good enough. We're good.
Well, I have to commend you because of the 4 years we've done this rant, that is, I believe, your best one. Oh. I feel you getting more passionate, but also more focused and well-informed each year we do this. I might clip that one out and make it a little bonus short podcast just on its own.
Oh, thank you.
But I think are the perfect spokesman for this because you are no doubt a degenerate gambler, and yet you still manage to have this flourishing life outside of it. And somehow you don't lose all your money, Dan.
No, I mean, okay. 99.99% of gamblers are just having fun with it. And that's the way I'm doing it. Look, there was a time in my life where I really wanted to play poker for a living and I considered it. I almost went all the way with it. But it's just an unhealthy lifestyle. Being around, you know, people in a casino all the time. Even if you play online, it's just not right sitting in a chair 50, 60 hours a week and just going through the same repetition to make ends meet.
Dan, I think you just criticized like 98% of our listeners' jobs.
That's why I paused when I said that. And now I'm regretting not going pro in 2005. No, yeah, but whatever. So there you go.
All right, let's move along. One more topic that we'll quickly address, try to end this on a more light or positive note.
MacGyver.
No MacGyver.
Oh, okay. I thought it was something else.
No, I'm neutral on MacGyver until further notice. I'll continue to watch. For Thank research. You. Like Pete Townsend said, it's for research.
Great reference.
Two people will understand that, but then maybe one person will Google it and laugh. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, speaking of Pete Townsend, they have announced the nominees for 2017, and I want to read down the list and just see what you think. I think there are, I'm thinking there are probably like five that seem like what I would call automatic bids that should definitely get in. Those are Pearl Jam, Tupac, I say Depeche Mode, although maybe not, Journey, Jane's Addiction. And then I think those all are shoe-ins to me. And then the rest of the list, all of these you can make a strong case for, or case maybe you can make a case against, but that's for you to decide. Bad Brains, The Cars, Chaka Khan, ELO, very underrated, Joan Baez, Janet Jackson, Jay Giles Band, Joe Tex, Kraftwerk, MC5, Steppenwolf, Yes, and The Zombies. First off, let's just start with who do you think should get in out of those this year, like first ballot? And then after that, I want to move into sort of like redefining the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and what you think should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Sure.
But let's start with the specific bands.
Yeah, there's a lot of bands off the top of my head just from that list you said.
Well, let's start with my five sort of automatics. So Pearl Jam, Tupac, Depeche Mode, Journey, Jane's Addiction. You think all five of those should get in?
I don't know. I think obviously Pearl Jam and Tupac for sure. Depeche Mode is a little bit questionable.
Huge cult classic, cult following. Yeah.
I agree, but if they're not on the auto list, then you have to go with the German boys. Kraftwerk is a stone cold lock. Like, they created electronic music, their samples are still used in hip-hop beats today. I mean, that's an easy lock. The Cars is interesting, but probably no for them. Janet Jackson, I would say no as well. Chaka Khan, I would say yes.
ELO, I say yes to ELO.
ELO, yes. Journey, I hate them, but I guess you got to say yes.
Well, let me ask the second question, because this plays into it. What should qualify you for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Should it be popularity? Should it be critical success? Should it be a combination of both? Or should it just be someone who made a mark on music? Like MC5's a great example. I mean, they really made their mark, and they're an important band, but most people don't really even know who they are. So what should be the qualifications?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, that's an unbelievable list. You know, MC5.
It's one of the best lineups. I mean, this is why it's so tough.
It's way underrated. I mean, you know, original DC punk. The qualification should be all about the music itself and not how many you sold or how many hits you got on YouTube. I'm sure in our lifetime we'll see some nonsense where they adjust it to be with that, but it should be about the music, not whether it was popular.
But how do you do that when music is such a subjective thing?
Just kind of, you know, popularity, but also...
I mean, I just to throw it out there, I fucking hate Depeche Mode, but I know they're wildly popular.
Yeah, like, you know, I mean, it also has to go with how many people like your music. You know, that has to be part of it. So it has to be the combination of you writing the physical songs and creating it with the popularity. I don't think someone who has all their songs written for them, you know, necessarily should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but... There's plenty of people in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame already with a lot of their hit songs written for them. So anyway.
I think there's an argument to be made, and I'm back and forth on this, that whether it's the Music Hall of Fame or a Sports Hall of Fame, that you could look at who made a contribution, who was a noteworthy person. Like maybe football's easier. Like if there's a College Football Hall of Fame, I think a guy like Danny Werfel definitely gets in because he is so memorable from that 96-97 era. But if you stack him up against other quarterbacks, I mean, he went to the Redskins and we saw what happened. Tim Tebow is the same. Like, I do think there's something to be said for the sort of like social or cultural impact they have. Like I guess the extreme argument would be something like the Macarena. Should the Macarena be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame just because it was so significant during that period of time as a cultural thing, even though the song is complete trash?
No, the Macarena should not be in the Rock and Roll Hall
of Fame. Right. Well, when you phrase it like that, of course.
I don't know if I have the exact analytic answer to give you. I will say that longevity also plays a role. And if you have literally no longevity, you're eliminated. So it's a combination of a lot of things. It's not an easy answer, obviously. It's longevity, contribution to music, general popularity, influence on your peers and on other generations. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, points. There's a lot of ins, a lot of outs here, to quote.
Okay, so I'll read down the list and you tell me first ballot Hall of Fame, meaning this year, eventually but not this year or not at all.
Okay, go ahead.
Pearl Jam.
First.
Tupac.
First.
Depeche Mode.
Eventually.
Bad Brains.
Eventually.
The Cars.
No.
Now, why do you say no? Because the Cars are interesting because they had a ton of hits, but they don't really, I wouldn't think they influenced too many people aside from Fountains of Wayne.
All I know is my music, just like yours, begins with your parents. And my mom and dad saw the Cars because my mom wanted to go. She liked the show, but my dad said it sucked, and I trust him. So I'm staying with that.
Okay. They also influenced Not a Surf. Basically, any album that Rick Ocasek personally produced.
That's correct. Yeah, no, keep going.
Chaka Khan.
First.
ELO.
Eventually.
Journey.
Eventually.
You have to.
I know.
Joan Baez.
No.
Janet Jackson.
No.
Jane's Addiction.
Eventually.
Jay Giles Band.
Out, no.
Can we agree that Jay Giles is the most easily excludable of this list?
Jay Giles, if you saw him right now, you would know he's excludable too. He's a total train wreck. Out.
They're the perfect example of what I was saying. Do you think, like, cultural moments, because everybody remembers Angel is the Centerfold, but it's not necessarily a great song. Although that... it may or may not be on my Spotify party mix. I'm not going to answer that question, Dan.
It's a really good song, but no. Out.
Joe Tex.
No.
Kraftwerk, you already answered that.
Spell it for sure.
MC5.
Eventually.
Steppenwolf.
No.
Yes.
Eventually.
Oh, I thought you were going to say no just for comic value. Yes. No.
No. Yes is a little bit underrated, actually.
The Zombies.
No. As cool as they are for their time, I'm going to say no.
All right, that's it. Any other thoughts on music, college football, or otherwise?
Oh, I think we had a pretty strong episode. We covered former Central Florida quarterback Dante Culpepper. We covered off air, we covered where a guy named Herbal can smoke weed and go to bars in Syracuse, which is a good point.
That'll be on the bonus episode.
Fantastic. So I think it was a strong podcast. I feel good about it.
All right. Well, until next week, takethepoints.net, Twitter, the fake Tom Z or dpartridge10. Hit us up on Facebook. We actually do have a Facebook page. I made it four years ago. I never touched it after the first like week or two. I think we have like 4 followers.
Okay.
Do not go there because I don't actually want to manage it. Unless you want to.
I kind of do. You're going to need to send me the password. I got a lot of free time these days.
All right, Dan, you've just been named a social media manager for takethepoints.net.
Good.
No Facebook page this week, but eventually. As always, hit us up on LinkedIn. Dan, find us on the dark web. Find us on the Onion Network. Download Tor.
Okay, yeah. Find me on your favorite torrent website.
You can purchase episodes on Silk Road.
Yes, you can. And for the premium package is available for $19.95 a month. We will add you to our group text.
And that's true. For $19.95, you cannot respond. You can only look. For $40 a month, you can actually write back.
Yes.
And
one text per day.
Last comment, Dan. Next Thursday, I go up to the hole where we were born, as Oasis would say. I'm going up to Syracuse. I'm going to look into the New Times. We're finally going to get our ad in the Syracuse New Times.
Yes, I can't wait. And I will pick up the New Times tomorrow here in Phoenix. It comes out Thursday. And we will place them at the same time to run dual Take the Points ads.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Good night. And he's like, your hard drive is completely shot. I'm like, oh, great. And he handed me back my old hard drive.
Now, you know the key, Dan. You find the disk and the drill bit goes through the disk. That's how you hide it from the government. And then, you know, put it in the microwave.
Yep. Hillary style.
Dan, I would love it if you ran for president one day, because the scandals that came out would be hilarious. They'd be like, we found Dan's external hard drive that was thrown in the trash back in 2016. Dan claims to be a tastemaker. He claims to be cool. But guess what we found on here? A full album by SR71. Multiple Sum 41 tracks.
Multiple Sum 41 tracks. A lot of saves the day. Like full albums. Take the points. look at your notes from last week and the ones I didn't pick?
I threw all of them out.
Classic Tom Z. Let it be known that on October 19, 2016, Tom Still, I asked him for his homework, said, I don't know, I threw it out. Which has been roughly the same answer. We're going on like 28 years. So, yeah.